We're starting a new series today, and we're jumping into the book of 1 Thessalonians, and you can feel free to open there, but I want to start our time with a story to hopefully introduce the theme that we're going to be tracking with through this course of the series. And this story occurred back in August of last year when three dads, myself included, took our five sons on a hiking trip. One of the dads had really wanted to do this, and so we drove to a portion of the Appalachian Trail and began our hike. It was around noon, and we got started. And to start off the hike, we started basically climbing, I felt like, straight up. It was extremely the elevation of going up. I mean, you could do it, but as we were doing this, I'm like, if this is what hiking is, you know what, I'd like to exit out at some point and head back down the mountain. But I kept being told, you know, when we get to the top, there's this amazing view. There's a fire tower up there. There's things that we can check out. It'll be great. And of course, you know, the kids are all bounding up the trail, and I'm making it the best I can, doing all right. And finally, after some perseverance, we did. We got through it. And I got to say, at that point, I'm thinking to myself, if this whole hike is like this, I'm not so sure I can do it. I can manage this. But it was about 2 miles, I guess, to get to the fire tower. And here we are at the top, at least with my two boys, and very happy to have made it to that point. And the view was spectacular as we looked out over the valley and were able to take some pictures. We climbed the fire tower, we were able just to enjoy that point. And right there in that stage of the hike, I realized that there were two opportunities already where I would have liked to have stopped. One was on that ascent going up and how hard it was to get to where we were going. And there were times where I thought to myself, it would be nice to just stop and not go any further. But the other time was when we got to the top. And we were having this amazing view and kind of relaxing a little bit. The breeze was great up there. It's a summer day. And I'm thinking, you know, this would be a great place to stop as well. And many times in our paths in life, we have these points where for different reasons, we kind of want to just stop and maybe not go any further. Sometimes they're for negative reasons. Sometimes maybe because something really positive has just happened. We just want to stay and enjoy it for a while. But God calls us to continually keep going in our journeys, especially in our spiritual journeys. And on this particular day, we were also called to keep going. One of the guys I was with said, all right, we have a choice to make. We can either go back down kind of another route and not too far and get back to the car where we parked, or we can go on and find the other vehicle that we parked. We had separated cars to drive to our starting point. And that's going to be, he said this, but I don't recall hearing this, about 10 miles. And for some reason, I maybe were feeling the euphoria of having been at the top of the mountain. We all said, let's do it, let's go. And so off we went, right? And so, you know, you're walking along. First of all, I don't understand why on the Appalachian Trail, as they made this trail, they didn't just leave it dirt. But somebody must have had the brilliant idea to helicopter rocks in on the entire trail. So you're walking on rocks almost the entire time. And that's not exactly comfortable. I had sneakers on, not boots. So my feet were feeling it as we were working through. So the rest of the trip wasn't as much of the ascent as the beginning was. It was ups and downs. But as we're walking through, we begin to look out over the valley, and it's just darkness. We're like, that looks like a rainstorm. And sure enough, as we were walking along, we all of a sudden just got hit with this torrential rains. And I'm just walking along. First, it was great because we were all sweaty in the summer day, and the rain's cool, and it feels great. After about 30 minutes and the water's dripping repeatedly off my nose as I'm trying to walk along, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of done with this. Where's the helicopter evacuation to get us out of here, you know? But there was none. So you had a choice. You either stop or you keep going. And so we kept going. And hours later, literally just before dark, we made it off the mountain, down off the trail, ended up 12 miles in total, which maybe for some of you isn't that big a deal. It was a big deal for me. And I was never happier to see the vehicles as we came around the bend because we were going slower and slower as we were going. One of the guys I was with, his knees kind of locked up on him, and literally by the end of the trail, he's going like this. I mean, it was painful for him, but we made it. We made it, and I was thankful to have made it. But there are times, like I said, in our lives where we are maybe tempted to quit, to stop doing what we're doing. And God wants us to continually keep going. And that's going to be the theme of what we're going to talk about. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, here's what I know God wants. He wants you to keep going, to keep moving forward. Whatever that looks like for you, wherever you are in your journey, just keep moving forward. And he wanted the same thing for the people that lived in the city of Thessalonica. And so he wrote two letters. We're going to look at the first one in our series. And it's a church that was actually doing fairly well. And yet Paul wants to encourage them, even though they're going through some hardships, they're hanging together, they're doing well, but Paul wants to encourage them to keep going. Let me give us a little background before we get into the passage. If you want to open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the Pew Bible, it's 1169, I believe, is the page numbers, and follow along with us and encourage you to do that. But you can find the background to this in Acts chapter 16 and 17. You don't need to turn there. Let me just tell it to you. Paul and his friend Silas have been traveling around. They've gone through the city of Philippi, and as they're in Philippi, they didn't get a great reception. In fact, they end up being arrested. They're put in jail. They're flogged, which means they're beaten, and so they're not in good shape. God miraculously rescues them from jail, ends up bringing to faith the jailer and his entire family. So even in the midst of very difficult circumstances, God blesses Paul's ministry, but they got to get out of town. And so they do. They head out of town. They take about a 100-mile hike on the Via Ignatia down the Roman road at the time. And they come to the city of Thessalonica. Paul, as he often would go to the synagogue where the Jews would meet who knew the Old Testament. And he would start there and he would share the good news that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises. And people came to faith in Thessalonica. Both people who were Jewish and people who were not Jewish came to trust Jesus as their Savior. But unfortunately, some of the people there didn't like Paul's message. And so they began to stir up the crowds, and the accusation was made that Paul was proclaiming that there was another king other than Caesar. And so they were basically accusing Paul of treason. And so they couldn't find him at the time, so they drug another guy named Jason to the court, so to speak. And they really wanted to get these guys out of town, which eventually they did. They got out of town. They had to flee for their lives. And they go to this town called Berea, and they're there now. And here's just to give you a taste of how much the people in Thessalonica, some of them, didn't like Paul's message. They travel. They find out Paul's in Berea. It's about 50 miles away. They actually travel there to stir up trouble in Berea because they so wanted to thwart what Paul was doing. So obviously in the city of Thessalonica, you now have this group of followers of Jesus, both Jewish and non-Jewish. You have this persecution and people who don't like their message and what they're doing, which is pretty common in most of the cities where Paul went. And Paul just really wants to know how they're doing. So much so that he sends Timothy, one of his good buddies, to travel back to Thessalonica to find out how the church is doing. And to Paul's great delight, Timothy comes back with a message saying, Paul, they're actually doing well. They're hanging together. They're continuing to do. They're keeping going. And so that encourages Paul's heart. And as a result, he writes 1 Thessalonians to continue to encourage them in their spiritual journey. And that's where we jump into the story. So as Paul often did, and the letters were often written in that day, Paul begins his letter with who's writing it, who they're writing it to, and then a greeting. And a simple greeting is grace and peace to you. A greeting he often used and wanted his readers to be aware of. And then in verse 2, he says this, we always thank God for all of you. And continually mention you in our prayers. In other words, Paul's thinking about them regularly. He's concerned for them. But then in verse 3, he says this, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this verse, what we're going to see is it really forms an outline for the book of where Paul's going to go. He's going to talk about love. He's going to talk about what they're doing and how they are to act. And he's going to talk a lot about hope and that being the motivation for why they're doing what they are doing. And this idea is, you know, let's unpack this verse for a minute, kind of as our outline for the book, but also for where we're going today. First of all, what do they remember? They remember your work produced by faith. I just want you to get this point. What you believe will influence what you do. Right? We know that, right? We know that to be true. But he's reminding them, we have seen evidence of your faith through what you have done. So we remember that. We're pondering that. And we're encouraged by that, Paul is saying. And I think for us, we always have to remember that as followers of Jesus, following Jesus isn't just something we say we believe. It's not just something we acknowledge with our minds. But true belief means it will be shown by what we do and by what we say. So if I truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only one who can rescue us from our sin and provide salvation, how can that not influence how I live my life and my desire to share that message with other people? See, what I believe must influence what I do. And so I think it's great sometimes to take an inventory of our lives and say, what am I doing? And is what I'm doing reflecting? How is that reflecting what I believe? And what we often find that some of what we're doing, and in my own life this is true, I realize is actually reflecting a belief that is not accurate. I know better, but I'm letting a false belief begin to influence what I do instead of what I know to be true. And so it's always good to go back and ask yourself, what is it that I really believe? What is at the core of my faith that I have? And how is that influencing me in the decisions that I'm making, the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm saying? Because we all know we live, as the Thessalonians did, in an environment sometimes where we're not exactly encouraged to live out our faith. You know, sometimes we may feel like we're supposed to keep our faith to ourselves. We're not supposed to, you know, talk about it or live it out in ways that might, you know, ruffle feathers of anybody. And instead, God may be saying, no, if you truly believe I am who you say I am, that should influence you to be willing to serve others in ways that other people might look at and say, wow, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Why are you serving in that way? Well, because of who Jesus is. Why are you sharing this with me? Because of who Jesus is. It's not about wanting people to think I'm a great or good person. It's about pointing people to Jesus because he is ultimately who we believe in. We believe something, so we act in certain ways. But he also talks about in this verse, not only your work produced by faith, but your labor prompted by love. You see, when we love someone, we demonstrate that in tangible ways. So you notice work and labor, kind of similar. So what we believe influences what we do. Who we love influences what we do. Think about that, right? In families, we love our families. If you're married, you love your spouse, you love your kids, and that influences what you do. You do things, sometimes very sacrificial things, sometimes things that you wouldn't want to do otherwise, right? I mean, come on, parents, how many of you really want to go to Chuck E. Cheese? And yet sometimes you do that because why? Because your child's 3 or 4 or 5, their birthday, and you do it for them. See, your love for somebody influences what you do so that sometimes you even act in ways, and I would say positive ways, that you wouldn't normally act, that you wouldn't choose to act in. See, so not only what we believe influences what we do, but who we love influences what we do. And I got to go back in my self-inventory. Do I love Jesus? And my answer is, yes, I do. I always feel like that guy in the Bible who said, Lord, I believe, help me in my unbelief. I feel like I say to Jesus, Lord, Jesus, I love you, but help me to love you. It sounds almost counter, right? I love you, but I don't really love you. I love you, and the idea is, but I know I could love you better. Help me to love you, but help my actions and words demonstrate that I love you, Jesus, that you are the center point of my life. Help me to live that way. And that's what Paul wanted and saw in the life of the Thessalonians. So not only did what they believe influence what they did, but who they love influence what they did. And that's going to be seen by many others. And then third, he says, in your endurance, inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is, keep going. The word endure or persevere is sprinkled all through the New Testament. Paul and other writers continually are saying, keep going, persevere, endure. I know it's hard, but keep moving forward. Why? Why should I keep moving forward, Paul? It's hard. I don't want to take another step up the hill. I don't want to get rained on anymore. I don't want to keep going, Paul. So what is it that, why? He says, because you have a hope that is found in Jesus. And as he's going to unpack later in the book, this hope is something that can never be impacted negatively. It is set for us. It's future. We have not experienced it yet. And so no matter what it is that we go through in this life in following Jesus, Paul would say somewhere else, compared to the reality of what lies ahead, it's like a light and momentary trouble. It's like a light and momentary trouble compared to what God has for us. Let the hope that your faith is based upon motivate you to keep going. And that's what God wants us to do. Keep going. Now, as I've kind of alluded to, there's probably at least two reasons, maybe more, that we stop moving forward, whether it be in life or even in our spiritual lives. And they're kind of at opposite ends of the spectrum. One is because life gets really hard. And so it's the idea of going up that first hill or that first climb that we had to do. It got really hard. And when life gets hard, we often want to stop and not keep going because when we stop, it's not as hard, right? And that's common. That's something that we do. And there are places in life where we maybe have gotten beat up and we just need to come aside and rest for a little while, kind of restore. I've talked to many people who have come here to Davisville, especially maybe who come from other solid churches, and they just maybe got burned out and they needed a place to go and just restore for a while. And my response to them, because they also say, you know, I want to get involved in it. I will. I said, it's okay. You will. If you were involved that much in your other church, you will eventually get involved here. No pressure. Just be restored for a while, but know that eventually, yeah, we're encouraging you to get involved in what we're doing here. Sometimes we need those brief periods to restore. But why? So that we can get back in the game, so we can keep going. Not as stopping points forever, but just as those rest points. But sometimes because it's hard, we feel like we can't go on, and we feel like it's time to quit and give up. The other reason why we can stop moving forward is because we've reached some kind of milestone. We've gotten to the top of the mountain. The view is fantastic and we're there enjoying it. And so we just want to stay there for a while. Why should I keep going? This is great right where we are, you know? We often talk about, and I know our junior high just came back from camp. Senior high are going in February. I went to many a camp here through the church, and I remember we used to call them mountaintop experiences. Like kind of in your spiritual, if you've been on a retreat or something, maybe you've experienced this. For a couple days, you're just in this kind of Christian bubble. You're getting fed great things spiritually, and you just feel like it's a safe place. You're away from all the other stresses in life. But then what happens? You got to go home, and real life kicks in. And you got to go back to work or back to school or whatever it may be. And that kind of mountaintop experience, you got to come down and you got to go back into the real world. And sometimes we feel like we just like to stay on the mountain a little bit longer. We feel like we don't need to go on. Maybe we feel like we've accomplished what we're supposed to accomplish. There's nothing more for us. And it's a time to coast. We want to just enjoy the view. By the way, the second idea of maybe feeling like we've reached it, we've done our share, we've done our part, and it's time for us to just kind of check out for a while. And I just got to say here that we need to be careful when we talk about our spiritual lives, that we don't fall prey, especially perhaps to some of you who may be reaching or approaching or have reached the age of retirement, that we take our cultural view of retirement and we bring it into our Christian life. That retirement is, I've done my work, I've worked really hard, I kept going forward so I could get to a point where I could stop working and just enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with enjoying life. But in the spiritual life, we don't see that idea. We don't see God saying, you know what, serve me, serve me, serve me for a while. And when you get to a certain age, just you can coast to the rest until you come to heaven. Nowhere is that taught in Scripture. And so however you enjoy your retirement, your time of serving God is not over. Perhaps in retirement, you might have some of the greatest opportunities to serve God you've ever had because you're not investing in work as much as you used to have to do. God wants us to keep moving in our spiritual lives. On the other end of the spectrum, sometimes there are people who are younger who feel like, well, I can't serve God yet. I'm still in school. I don't have a job yet. I'm not old enough, whatever the case is. And can I tell, especially you who are students here today, that where God has placed you is one of the most vital mission fields that we have around us. God wants to use you right now at the age that you are. If you have faith in Christ and a love for people, He will use that. Keep going. Step in. Don't feel like you have to wait until you get a certain amount of knowledge or a certain amount of time in this life. God wants to use you right now. So on this earth, as we read the Scriptures, we see God talk about labor, strive, work, endure, persevere. Those are the kinds of words we read in the New Testament. When we get to the words about rest, and, you know, stopping, guess where we find those words describing? Heaven. So until we get to heaven, we are still called to be serving God in our generation, to be doing His work in whatever way that looks like. And it doesn't mean a physical side to it necessarily. We are to be in the game. We are to keep going all the way to the point where God takes us to heaven. So with that in mind, I want to share a line of wisdom with you. You ready for this? This is profound. I know, now you're wondering if it really is. But here it is. If you're not dead, you're not done. If you're not dead, you're not done. Okay? So you're here this morning. Guess what? All of you are not done. You still have work that God wants you to accomplish. Because when our time, when God takes us either through death or his return, then is our time of work over and we will enter into our rest. And that will be a joyful, wonderful experience. But let's make sure we enter into our rest with well done, good and faithful servant, as we talked about last week. That's what God wants for us. If you're not dead, you're not done. Paul said it perhaps a little bit more eloquently when he said this at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. You see what he's saying? Always keep going. Don't stop. Keep going. Why? Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know that every step you take when you keep going and serving the Lord is not in vain. It's not worthless. It's not meaningless. God sees it. He acknowledges it. He will reward it when the time of rest comes. So don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Why is it important to keep going? Why? Why does it matter so much that we keep going? Why can't we just coast or if we perhaps feel like we're just beat up or we failed, to just get out of the game? It's important because our perseverance not only pleases Christ, but it also impacts others. And that is the work that God has for us. Ultimately, God wants us to influence other people to follow Jesus. And that doesn't happen when we're sitting on the sidelines. It happens when we're in the game, when we keep going with what God has for us. Look at the rest of the passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 4. He says, "For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction." In other words, you're demonstrating your faith. We know that the gospel really took in your hearts because you're living it out. You're not just saying you believe something, you're living it out. "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." Now catch this. So what Paul's saying is when we came to you, we shared the message with you. We kept going and coming to you. We shared with you. You responded and you began to imitate us. You began to look at us and say, okay, here's an example of what it looks like to keep going and following Christ. So we're going to follow your example, right? So Paul understood the importance of following Jesus and keep going. Why? Because other people were watching. Other people were coming along behind him. And we all know if you are a leader or a guide and other people are following you, when you stop, what do? They stop. And when you say it's time to go, then they generally get up and go. So as that leader, perhaps in faith, maybe having been a follower of Jesus a little bit longer, keep going because others are coming behind you. They're watching you. Parents, keep going in your faith in Jesus, even when it gets hard, because you have children coming behind you who are watching your faith and wanting to know what it means and what it looks like to follow Jesus. They don't expect perfection, but they are looking for consistency. We have the greatest opportunity as moms and dads to influence lives to follow Jesus by simply keep going ourselves. Because when things get hard and our kids, especially as they get older and they begin to understand a little bit more and they understand that money's tight in the family, and they understand that, okay, they put together, mom and dad lost hours or lost a job, and we understand the implications of that. And they look to you and they say, how are you going to respond? And yes, you respond with, I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work out, but I'm going to choose to trust that God will provide for us. Let's pray together about this. Let's keep asking God to help us because we know we need his help. And then God shows up. What are you doing? You're modeling for your children what it looks like to follow Jesus when life gets hard. You don't give up. You keep going. You keep going. We have such an opportunity to do that with our kids. And it's so important. But look, it goes on. So Paul and Silas, and in this case Timothy, model what it's like to follow Jesus. And now look what happens for the followers of Jesus in this church. Verse 7, "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in these regions," and Thessalonica was in the region of Macedonia, Achaia is a little bit to the south. "Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, For they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, you followed our example, and guess what? Whole regions are now listening, watching you, Thessalonians. They're watching how you follow Jesus, and word about your faith has gotten out, and people are talking about your faith. So that shouldn't necessarily make you feel like, oh, we're really good. No, it means that you are living out your faith in Christ and influencing other people to point them to Him. That's what you're looking to do. And so when we keep going, we are also modeling that for others who are coming behind us. It's something that God wants us to do. We naturally encourage others to keep going as well, because we don't travel the journey alone. We don't. We always have others who are around us, and we shouldn't travel the journey. God did not design us to travel this journey alone. He designed us to do it in community, to help one another. What? To keep going. So that when you know someone in your class, or you know someone at your work, or someone in your family who's really had their legs knocked out of them and just had something really hard come up in their life and they're struggling, what better thing for us to do as followers of Jesus to come along around them and come alongside them and say, don't give up. I know it's hard, and I may not understand all that you're going through because I'm not there, but I want to come alongside and encourage you. Let's keep going, because staying here or giving up is not going to lead to good things. You know, on the hike, if we chose to just give up and stay there, it was just going to get dark and the next day and we'd get hungry, and it doesn't lead to anything positive, right? The only way to get out is just keep going, keep moving through that situation. We don't travel alone. So let me just ask you these questions this morning. Are you either tempted or perhaps in your journey not moving forward because of failure? Maybe you've had an effort and you say, you're sitting there thinking, Tim, I've tried. I've tried to share with somebody. I've tried to serve somebody. I've just gotten beat up about it, or it doesn't go well, or something's not going well in my own life. You don't know what I'm going through. I just need to stop. I just need to give up. Can I encourage you that, first of all, you're not alone in what you're going through? We talk about being a family at Davisville. We want to live that out. And so you need to share that with somebody, maybe what you're going through, so others can come around and encourage you. But I also want to encourage you, don't give up, because God is bigger than whatever it is that you're facing. And He will enable you to keep moving forward, even with whatever is going on in your life. He will help you to keep moving forward. And if you do, your faith in the midst of difficulty shines brighter and speaks louder than our faith when everything's going our way. Doesn't that make sense? Because think about it. We say, yeah, I trust Jesus and everything's going great. People are like, well, okay, yeah, you trust Jesus, everything's going fine in your life. But let's say Jesus doesn't come through the way you want Him to. Let's say Jesus doesn't give you what, like, you take something away that's dear to you. Are you still going to trust Jesus? What does that look like? And that gives us opportunity to show that we can trust, even though we don't understand all the time what God is doing. Keep going. Sometimes you may need to take a break, regroup, regather, but step forward, step back in. Maybe you've served God in some way, in some specific way in ministry. Maybe you did get burned out. Maybe you went too far. Maybe you gave too much. I don't know. And maybe you stepped back and stepped out. Can I just encourage you to remind yourself that this is not a time for you to not be in the game, but maybe it needs to look a little different than how you did it before. Maybe God will open a new opportunity for you to step in, but don't give up. And for some of you, perhaps, who are sitting here who've had tremendous success in following Jesus, and maybe you're coasting right now. You're just kind of enjoying life. You're not really rocking the boat. You're just kind of living day to day, enjoying where you're at. Can I challenge you to be asking God, God, where do you want me to step back in to keep going? To keep going, not just to rest on what you've already done through me, but to know that because I'm not dead, you're not done, that I need to keep going in my following of you. And there are more things that you want to accomplish through me. There's more people that you want to impact. There's more people you want me to love. There's more acts of faith that you want to accomplish before I end up experiencing the rest that you have for me in heaven one day. And that is the hope that we have. We can keep going because we know that God has something better for us than anything this life can offer us. Don't give up. Don't give up. And may we be a place that encourages one another to keep going in appropriate ways, because Jesus is worth it, because the people around us are worth it. Let our faith, let our love motivate us to act in ways that are consistent with who we say we are as followers of Jesus. And let's watch what God does. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this, just this opening, this opportunity to step into this and to be encouraged and challenged that wherever we are in our spiritual journey, perhaps feeling defeated, perhaps feeling like you've used this to accomplish some really neat things, that your desire for us is to keep going. And I pray that you would, as you have promised, you will give us the strength to do that. Thank you that you've given us brothers and sisters around us, whether through groups that we meet in, through our own families, through whatever it may be, ministry groups that we serve with, that we can walk this journey with. And I pray that we would be people who encourage others by our faith that leads to actions, by our love that leads to actions, by our endurance that is set upon the hope that is sure that one day there will be a rest and there will be a reward. But while we are here, God, you want to work through us to impact people, to influence them to follow you. May we be obedient to that call, because that is the life that is the best life that we could possibly live. So help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.